We have the privilege of hearing from God as He's spoken to us in His Word. You can turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at the first three verses, particularly the third verse this morning, which is chosen in relation to the catechism question, number 41, where we've arrived at this morning. To ask the question, where is the moral law summarized? The question asked assumes that we are people of morality. We are made in God's image. We have His character, or we're called to demonstrate His character, His integrity, and reflect Him. And there is a morality that we're called to. And it asks, where is the morality, found, it says the moral law is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And we'll be going through those commandments moving forward. We are getting into the season of holidays. And so sometime in the future we'll be moving in that direction, also moving through the season as well. So probably as we get further into the new year, first part of the year, we'll be looking particularly at those commandments in more detail. But I wanted to talk to you about, in general, this whole idea of being under a command. And that's why we're in 1 John. So please stand as we read what John has to tell us this morning. Inspired by God, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, or Messiah, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, that is, everyone who's born of God, the Father, loves whoever has been born of Him. It's our duty to love other Christians. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, and we obey His commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And say the rest together. And His commandments are not burdens. I want to do verse 3 again responsibly. I'll read the first half and you complete the sentence, the rest. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Periodically, like a number of you, I'll go out for lunch or out for dinner. Maybe you're planning on where you're going for dinner already today or where you're lunching. And some of you, you'll go out today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, whenever. And typically, you'll have this experience. You'll go into a restaurant. The hostess will be there. She will host you to your seat. You sit down and you'll be given a menu, and as you look over your menu, you're like ready to eat. And you're going to decide, what do I want? Well, you can look at the menu, you can say, well, chicken? No. Fish? No. I think I'll have the steak. Okay? You look over the menu and you say, do I want a salad? No. I'll have the mixed vegetables. What do you want? Do you want a coffee? You want tea? No, I'll just give me a soda. So, tremendous freedom when you're given a manuscript, they call a menu, with a lot of writing and a lot of choices. And you just take what you want and leave behind whatever you don't want. Right? That's how it is. And so God gives us a menu with a totally different approach. When He gives us this menu and the morality that's in it, someone has said that the morality is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And as we frequently hear said, these are not the Ten Suggestions. These come in the form of decrees, directives. They are definitive instruction. They have a definite focus, and they're to be taken and eaten from. Applied to every one of our lives, without exception. No picking and choosing. Well, I like the first three, but I'm not so happy about the fourth. The tenth kind of gives me trouble. So I think I'll just kind of ignore that one, you know? Much prefer number seven. Cecil B. DeMille, director of the movie The Ten Commandments. Who's not seen that movie? Okay. All right. He said, mankind has made 32 million laws since the commandments were handed down to Moses on Mount Sinai. But he has never improved on those commandments. So the question I put before you and me this morning is, what is our attitude toward those commands? I'm asked that not on a theological level, but on an emotional level, on a feel level. Because virtually everyone in this room, I have no trouble saying, oh yeah, Ten Commandments, no problem. We all agree, we're good to go on those. But where we live, that's where I'm concerned about this morning. Children, sometimes, if my memory serves me correctly as a child, my parents didn't always know what was best for me. They would tell me something, 10 o'clock, it's bedtime. I'm thinking, why not 12? Tomorrow's Saturday, you know? And I'm thinking, they don't understand me. They don't know me. They've never been 12. J.C. Ryle, who lived in the 1800s, was a prolific writer, rigorous preacher, pastor in England. And he warns us of what he calls despising the Ten Commandments. He says some are under the illusion that when Christ came to earth, that somehow those commandments just disappear. He says, not so. In fact, he actually came to keep every one of those commandments, to model them for us, to help us understand them better. But for you and me, I believe the problem is not, do we despise the commandments? I think the problem is more like sometimes we feel like certain commands are a burden. Sometimes where we live, and I'm speaking for myself, and I trust many of you, where we live, we look at what God's telling us to do and we're thinking, He doesn't understand me. Theologically, I know He does, but where I live, I'm thinking, I have a better idea. That's not going to work. When do God's commands, when I speak and use that terminology broadly, not just in Ten Commandments, but as you read throughout the New Testament, you'll see there are many commands. You know, don't go to bed angry. Don't throw your spouse away. This is a paraphrasing. You'll see, don't gossip. Don't slander. Do many things. To love your enemies. Pray for those who despise you. You see a whole lot of details of the principles buried within the Ten Commandments, but coming out in various ways in detail. But when does a command for us feel like a bother. John uses the word a burden. When does it feel like that's a problem for me if I'm going to move in that direction, even though I know what the Bible tells me? And I think sometimes it's a problem is whenever the command contradicts whenever God wants and our wants are different. Whenever what He wants contradicts what we want. That's a problem, isn't it? For example, we're warned in not to meddle or gossip. Proverbs 26:17 says, don't get mixed up in someone else's fight as you're passing by. 2 Corinthians 12:20 warns us not to be found as a gossip. But sometimes it's very tempting to meddle in your daughter-in-law and son-in-law's business. When they've left home, son or daughters, you know, they leave your father and mother and cling to your wife. And now the in-laws or parents still want to start meddling, especially when there's in-house problems. It's one thing to be concerned, it's another to meddle. Or to gossip, you know, you've heard this big juicy bit of information and it's confidential and somehow you got a hold of it. But we know what we want, what God wants. And it can end up like a neighbor's child on the street. I remember years ago we had this nice couple. They had a child. I don't know how old she was, maybe 3 years old perhaps. And she wants to put her nose through this railing that goes up the steps. You poke her nose through there. And I don't know what she was thinking, you know. She's poking her nose through this narrow railing, just about the size of the width of her head. She pokes her nose through, her mouth goes through. Next thing, her whole head goes through out of this impulse. She ends up with a huge problem. Because once she got her nose, her mouth, and her head squeezed through there, it wasn't squeezing back. You see, the ears, they go this way. You see how they go? They go a little through easier than you do coming back. And so they tried soap. They tried Vaseline. Probably even tried praying, I hope. It wasn't coming out. They start trying, prying and twisting. And next thing you know, 911. They're calling the fire department to undo something where this girl had poked her nose and her head where it didn't belong. And that's how it often comes down for us, really. When we have this impulse to do something that we want, and we may well know that it's not what God wants. And sometimes, it's not just prying, it's not just cutting the bar like they had to do with the fire department. Sometimes, it's taking the jaws of life and cutting someone out of a car. Because someone knew they should have stopped after the second drink. But they kept drinking. Now they spend their rest of their lives because they've ruined somebody else's life. And I know that experience personally with a family whose son that lost their life because someone should have known when to stop and they didn't and they crossed the line. They killed my best friend. He was just starting his life, his career. Ephesians 5:18 says, take care not to get drunk, but be filled with God's Spirit. We read verse 3. Will you complete it for me? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and His commandments are not burdens. Now, we looked last week at Psalm 19. Let me refresh your memory and mine. The law or the commands of God are perfect, reviving the soul. That's what the Bible tells us, what God tells us by His own instruction. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The instructions from the Lord are true and righteous altogether, no flaws. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for our teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the Scripture tells us. Romans 15:4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. It's like somebody's mother comes up and says, am I speaking just to hear myself talk? Or is I actually talking to you? Now, it doesn't take long reading through the Bible to realize that the instruction God gives us, and it's been recorded in space and time and history and preserved for generation after generation, has been preserved for our benefit. Instruction is profitable, positive, wholesome, healthy, productive, promising, and in political terms, in our own best interest. And so, when you hear instruction, and you may have one hanging over you now, may you feel like it's hanging over me. Probably not a good start even to think that way. I got something hanging over me. A command or instruction or something God's directing you toward or stopping you from moving in a direction. And we feel it's a burden. Where is the problem? You're struggling, but where is the problem in the struggle? Why are you having trouble moving into compliance? Moving into embracing this idea and rejoicing over it and saying, hey, I'm going for it. I'll celebrate that idea. And to me, it's like a floater. You ever have a floater in your eye? You got this little thing in your eye. It's like it's just like squiggling down. And you're like, you think it's a gnat. You know, it's a fly. Get out of there. Hey, well, go away. Whatever that thing is bothering me, you see? But where's the problem? Right here. It's in our view. So, when you ask where is the problem, when we hear instruction from God that we know He's requiring of us or wanting from us, He says it's good for us, but we're feeling not so good about it. And the problem, to me, comes in, it's in three areas, you know. It's, historically, it's been put this way. It's the world, the flesh, or the devil. The world, you see, says we need an upgrade. We got this book, but it needs upgraded. We need to bring this up to the 21st century times, right? The world sees it, you know, there's a gnat there. It's like knocking it out of the way. Get that out of the way. This needs to be pushed aside or it's bothering us. And, of course, there's the Bible talks about the devil or the evil one. It's an unseen spirit still influencing the world and has ways of tainting people's views of the book. Always out to get us, to accuse us, to bring us down. And then ourself. And that's usually the biggest problem. The flesh. We have ideas, how we got those ideas, comes from the world, comes from other places, and then we embrace them or we're living with these and we don't even see. We're trying to push a command from our parents out of the way. We're trying to push some idea out of the way. We think we might gain a few more dollars if we just tell a few little lies and we're going to have a little bit more and now we can buy a car or we can do something else because now we've got a little more than we had before, as if nobody noticed, as if it's not going to get us stuck. But you see, the problem comes down in our perspective. And it's a struggle our whole life to keep a clean eye. And why do we sometimes feel like certain commands or instructions are hard? Well, it's a lot of things, but eventually it gets down to most things, the world, the flesh, or the devil. But more correctly or more specifically, it may, like I said, contradict what we want. That's why it might be a problem for you. It doesn't make much sense to you. You don't like where it's going to end up if you actually do that. You might like the outcome. You might be trying to win God's favor. Some people don't like embracing God's commands, Because they think that's how you're going to win God's favor. I'll talk to that in just a moment. We forget that it's the pattern of Christ to do the right thing. When certain people have commanded us without loving us, that certainly doesn't make you feel like living around rules, does it? The only time I heard rules were the people who didn't like me. They just like abused their rules and beat me down with them. We forget sometimes that our obedience is the way we show God's love. And that's what this passage, the context, I'll just say in passing, is all about. And my reading of 1 John is that one of the biggest problems is that people had with other people. And John spends a lot of time talking about why you're to love the people around you, especially who are born of God like you. And you say you love God. They say they love God, and sometimes we're not nice to them. He says, we're under a command. God loved us, we're to love them. And his commands are not a burden, no matter how much burden that other person feels to you. So the problem is somewhere else. The problem lies within you and your processing. Doesn't mean that the other person's a nice person. So let me share just a few things, comment on a couple of those things, a few of these things I mentioned to you. Why sometimes I feel, and we feel like it's a bother to do what we know is right. Take, for example, when we don't, it doesn't make much sense. Aren't you glad the story of Jericho is recorded? What a great kid story, and for you and me. Because it tells us, on the surface, what a dumb idea it is to fight a war. God says, all right, you're going to go to war. Read about it in Joshua chapter 6. He'll say, okay, I want you to take some armed soldiers. Good idea if you're going to fight war, right? Okay, then by the way, take some ministers. We'll take 7 priests. They can have trumpets. And by the way, carry this box, the Ark of the Covenant. It's a chest. And inside, it's not mentioned in Joshua, but it's the way they did it. Inside was the Ten Commandments. Chest represents God's presence. 10 commandments inside. So they're going to fight, and you're going to try to conquer a city. How are you going to do it? You'll go in and just blow it up, right? Knock down the walls or whatever you're going to do. Just start killing people? No, that's not how you do invade the city. He said, here's what you do. Just quietly get some people together, the soldiers and the priests, and you just march around. Don't say a word. Just march around. They said, archaeologists say it was probably about a 10-15 minute walk around the city. Consider it was about a third. I think it was about a third or a mile, a little more in circumference. So you can walk for 15 minutes in silence, and these priests blowing their trumpets, and you go home. So about the second or third day, what are you thinking? You're sitting here thinking, we just marched for 3 days. We got weapons. We got swords. Got some spears. We've got, I don't know, slingshots, rocks. Why don't we use something? At least use a slingshot. We're not winning any battles here. You got to wonder what was going through those people's minds. Right? God's strategy is not our strategy, was it? And we see a command, we think, he doesn't understand. I've got to cheat. That's the only way. If I don't cheat, I'm not going to get ahead in this situation. That's what we're thinking. Got to do something a little differently. By the way, you know how the story ends, right? 6 days, you march around. The 7th day, they're going to have to do this thing 7 times. And some of the people may be thinking, we're not told, I look like a fool. I'm the only one doing this. Everyone else doing it a different way. Not only am I looking like a fool, I might get killed. We're not going to use any spears. You know what I mean? We're not going to use any weapons. And finally, you know what happens. 7th day, they blow the trumpets, the people all yell, the silence breaks, they yell out with a big shout, and the walls go, they fall down. It's a miracle. It's a miracle story. But it shows, and they're carrying these, it's not mentioned in Joshua, but you know, in that box, they're carrying the 10 commandments. They're following the commands of God. Doing it his way. They won that victory. But it's hard if you don't see, right? We don't see the logic. God sometimes just doesn't want to be logical to you. He just wants to see you obey. I'm not going to give you one good reason. Just do it like your dad and mom says, because I said so, right? That's it, because I said so. course, they were never 12, were they? Or sometimes we don't like what the result's going to bring. That's the story of Jonah, isn't it? Jonah, we're not told exactly, I don't believe, what all was going through Jonah's head, but he's supposed to go to the Ninevites to preach, isn't he? Where does he go? Opposite direction. What was he thinking? He may have been thinking this. The Ninevites were basically, in many ways, barbarians. You know how they, if you were an enemy, you know what they could do to you, and they often did? Take a wooden stake and they'd take you and just push you down on it. There are other things they did. I was reluctant to tell you. Cut you open, stick an animal, a small animal inside you, and sew you back up. So you wonder if Jonah's thinking, I'm going to go and tell these people, they repent of their sins, God's going to have mercy. I'm going to bless them. He's thinking, I'm not going there. No way. You know, sometimes he wants us to do something, like forgive someone who's been mean to you, and say, you don't know, God, what she did to me. You don't understand. That was the worst I have been treated in my entire life. And you said to pray for those who abuse me, to love my enemy. He didn't say you had to feel good about them. That's what we're struggling with. Is will you let the feeling get in the way of your obedience? I'm preaching just to myself because a lot of times I act on feeling. Hopefully those feelings, as we grow in maturity, will become more in line with what we know in our conscience and, more importantly, what we know in truth. You have truth, conscience, which is close to feeling, lining up together. But this message is about trying to upgrade our view and our will to say yes when a command we are under. Really, what should happen when God gives instruction in the book? God says, jump, and you should say, we should say, right? How high? God says, run, you say, how fast? How far? How long? It's not be, why? Should I? Let me see now. Let me think about that a little bit here. This is the love of God, that we keep His commands. Well, I'll conclude by trying to think, how do we upgrade our view of God's commands? The world, the flesh, and the devil, they all want you to change your view of God's commands. Much better, many people say, look, let's just face it, it's irrelevant. It's old-fashioned, it's archaic, it knows nothing about technology. Everything else has been upgraded, why can't we upgrade the book? That's what we're hearing in one way or another. When it comes to receiving instruction from here, where Christ is at the center. He's at the center of the book, by the way. But how do we upgrade our view? And struggling with how to do that, let me give you a suggestion. When John opens up his book in 1 John, he says, first of all, if you say you haven't sinned, you make yourself out to be a liar. God out to be a liar. So we're sinners, okay? We recognize it. We've got problems. Then he says he wants you to confess. You see? Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wrong. No matter how messed up, how our views are messed up, confession simply means, as I've said a thousand times here, it means to admit. You see who you are, you've got a problem, you say, Lord, I know what you want, and I've got a problem with that. I admit it. Good place to start. So really, it comes down, I believe, confession. It's a call for confession and courage. Lord, I know what you want me to do toward this person or not to do. I admit it. And then it's a call for courage. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm going to step out here and do what needs to be done. I think it's that simple. I mean, it's hard. It's a struggle. But it's that clear. Christ saw what needed to be done. His obedience as he looked at the cross. And he says, it's not easy, but not my will, but yours be done. that's how we find our blessing. And that's how we bless those around us, as we live by faith in obedience to what God tells us, even though it may feel like a burden. Scripture tells us it's a joy. And in the end, we'll be so much happier. And people around us will be so much more blessed. Receive the Word of God by faith. Well, let's confess our sins. The Scripture calls us to